Calling all AEC professionals. Get ready for unparalleled professional insights with detailed and original podcasts by RCAT. This is the podcast that brings you the untold stories and lessons learned behind the design and delivery of a building project. Hey, it's Charisse Lakeside, aka the CSI Kraken, and your host. Join me as we dive deep into the tales of conflict, triumph, and sheer ingenuity.
Yeah, so when Serena was named for the, it was going to be named for the building, you know, we really were able to work with teams at Nike Branding and how to really infuse her influence and identity in the very public spaces.
Detailed features architects, engineers, builders, and manufacturers who spill the beans on the most complex, interesting, and downright odd building conditions they've encountered.
Another challenge of the shuttle is actually putting it in launch position is how you brace that seismically. It's really supported by only two pins at the base of the booster rockets. And there's a large base isolator that's underneath the shuttle that kind of prevents it from moving too much in an earthquake.
When you have 600 people or 300 people in a room, acoustically, you really need a high floor to floor so that you can have the right acoustic environment for people to be able to talk and that speech intelligibility is really good.
Every episode unveils lessons learned and connects you to the products you need to navigate similar challenges. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Detailed today and be prepared for the unexpected on your next project. Every building has a story, and we are here to tell it.
Context and Clarity has been called a community-based pro-practice masterclass for architects. It's awfully high praise, but since we began this journey back in April of 2020, we've certainly grown into a community of small firm architects, all focused on what matters most to their success. And by the way, it doesn't matter if you're the employee of a firm that's dreaming of going out on your own, or you've owned your own firm for 26 years. There's something here for everyone. And that's where you come in. Thanks for listening and welcome to the Context and Clarity podcast. Every week, we have a conversation with an expert or a thought leader on things that matter most to the success of architects just like you. Then we go backstage with someone from our community and we talk about what we learned, what our biggest takeaways were, and how we're going to apply what we heard to our own businesses. In this episode, we talk with Megan Dolly. Megan is a virtual CFO. She's the author of the ebook, Getting Your Numbers Right, and the creator of Hiring for Profit. I said this in my live opening, and I guess I just feel like repeating it. So Megan is the anti-accountant whose superpowers begin where financial statements end. Now, that might not be the introduction that you'd expect for a guest that's coming on to talk about your firm's finances. But then again, Megan isn't just someone that talks about your firm's finances. One distinction that she makes, and we've heard this before, is that she says accountants look at the past, and CFOs, which is what she is, they look to the future. She also talks about the stories that numbers tell and the things that give numbers meaning. So this wasn't your ordinary conversation about your firm's finances. I think in our backstage session, Catherine and I probably talked longer about our takeaways and, frankly, what we were inspired by than we have for many past guests. And that's 100% a testament to Megan's approach to finances. Megan is fun. I'm sure working with her is fun. How many people say that about their financial consultants? And this conversation was fun. As I mentioned, Catherine McPhail joined me for the conversation with Megan Dolly as well as backstage afterward. Catherine is my co-host, and she's an architect and a podcaster now in Fairhaven, Massachusetts. In addition to Context and Clarity, Catherine hosts Talking Home Renovations with the House Maven, and she's the CEO of Demios Architects. As always, I'm looking forward to talking about our takeaways from the conversation. So let's go backstage and listen in as Catherine and I talk about our conversation with Megan Dolly, virtual CFO. The more I researched Megan and her work and her approach, and then in talking to her today, I really love her approach to this. This sounds crazy coming out of my mouth. I really love her approach to thinking about your firm's finances. My dad was an accountant, and I cannot ever imagine myself saying, "Oh, I think accounting sounds like it's a lot of fun."
Well, she makes it fun. It's more like visioning with accounting, I feel like.
Yeah. And she, you know, she points it out, right? Bookkeepers are looking at the history. They're looking at the past. And what she's doing, what CFOs do, is looking forward, planning. I was going to say imagining, but planning a future based on the realities of what you're doing, I guess. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. And also your goals and putting real numbers to your goals. Like if you actually want to go on a nice vacation, how much is that going to be? Where are you going to go? And how are you going to make the money? You know, so it helps make.
And when?
How long will you have to save? Or no, she wouldn't even say save, which I actually appreciated. She would say protect your money or. Mm-hmm. Like there's a different way that she was saying it. Also, when she was talking about jobs, I mean, every dollar has a job.
Yes.
That looking at it in that way, because of course that's true. It's just a kind of a fun, different way of looking at it, kind of a fresh way of looking at it for me anyway. Yeah, I enjoyed talking to her.
Yeah. I agree with that. I mean, I think there were at least two, maybe three different mindsets, I'm going to call them. I'm not sure that's exactly the right term to use, but that she talked about. One was what you were just talking about. Every dollar has a job. Another is a question that she uses is, what's this business capable of? Mm-hmm. And then she talks about the idea of the dollars and the numbers telling a story. And actually having meaning, you know, because of that story. And I think mindset is what I want to use there, because I think that's a completely different way of thinking about it than I've ever seen or heard. And it really resonates with me. You know, okay, well, this dollar goes to paying this consultant. This dollar goes to paying my taxes. And this dollar goes to paying me. And this dollar goes to the profit account I love the point of view that she brings to your finances.
Yeah. And the idea of using that exercise of, if this bad thing happens, what are 50 great things that'll happen as a result of this bad thing happening? Cause that totally takes the teeth out of the bad thing.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, so then you can just be kind of more casual about everything. Like, well, it could happen or it could not happen. Obviously you don't want it to happen, right. But I love that. So I'm definitely going to be using that for the rest of, if I remember, hopefully.
Sometimes naming the fear, right? I was taught this exercise by Aaron File. It happened like right before COVID became a thing. And thank goodness I learned this right before she did, or before it hit, because I was trembling. Like, what is going to happen to us? My husband's a teacher, that's fine, but he's a teacher in South Dakota, and how are we ever going to pay for our mortgage? Where are we going to do our groceries? We're going to be destitute. And the exercise was to name 50 good things that would happen if the bad thing didn't happen. So if I were to go bankrupt, what were 50 good things that would actually happen? And let me tell you, the first 10 were really hard to come up with. The next 10 were okay. And the next 30, like bang, bang, bang. My husband came home that day and I was like, we're going to declare bankruptcy and it's going to be awesome. And he's, what are you talking about? Granted, we never had to or anything, but it was really good to like get me out of this wallowing what if, what if, what if. I was safe. I was fed. I had a roof over my head. I have a happy, healthy family. Like, I was so down in the dumps about what could be in the future that wasn't even a reality yet, that I needed something to shake me out of it. And it was fantastic. It was a really great exercise.
She said it was hard to think of at first, but then they just start flowing.
Yeah, I can imagine it's hard to think of. I mean, she used the example of, you know, when COVID started and, you know, she and her husband, their family started to worry about finances, you know, and what was going to happen. I mean, we were all kind of in that boat of wondering what's going to happen. And so she used the example of going bankrupt, you know, if we went bankrupt, here's 50 positive things that would come out of that. And when she was telling that story, I was thinking, okay, yeah, that's for me, that would be hard to come up with a few things.
Right.
But she's using 50. It's amazing.
Yeah. When she was mentioning the advantages of being homeless, like if you think about, well, the good things about not having a house is that, as she was saying, you might get a better house next time. Mm-hmm. You also wouldn't have so much stuff to pack. I mean, I just moved. That's not fun. So if you don't have all that stuff, you're a lot more free and not as tied down anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pursue you've got choices. Dreams. Yeah. You got choices and all the possibilities of the whole world are right there. So anyway, I love that. I love that, mindset. And also she loves profit first. So, and I love profit first. So that's another thing. I am interested in looking at her program, Hiring for Profit. Also the hard conversation she has to have with people about letting go of things that they think they should be doing, but they can't really afford to be doing. That is a hard thing to face.
Yeah, I think that was a really important point. And again, maybe I'm projecting a lot of my own onto this, but I think there are a lot of us that get hung up with or hung up on, I've got to use this software, or I've got to have this, or I've got to do this in this way.
Got to have this fancy office.
Got to have this fancy office. Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's, now that you say that triggers this thought that COVID probably changed a lot of these things, right? A lot of us reassessed a lot of things in that, oh, it's going to be 3 months turned into 2 years or whatever. But, but it reminds me of when we talked with Aaron and Jake from Out of Architecture, we talked about the noun problem. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of us, or maybe just me, that get hung up on, I've got to do these things in these ways or have these things or, you know, whatever version of it, because this is what I do and that's what's expected.
Mm-hmm. You're not the only one.
I didn't think so, but maybe I'll always reserve that possibility. But I think, you know, to your point, I think that's a really important thing that she's talking about is that when you're looking at this holistically, like she said, and you're looking at what it is that you want to accomplish, what this business is capable of and what you want, why you do this thing, why you are an architect, what you want that firm, that business to be able to do for you, that gives meaning to, this is sort of bring it back full circle, I guess, but that gives meaning to these numbers that we're looking at. And that may tell us, hey, you need to let go of that fancy office if you want to be able to, you know, do this, if you want to be able to pay yourself this or do these types of projects for these clients or, you know, whatever it is, right? It's all up to you. It's all of it's completely subjective. You know, numbers are meaningless until you give them meanings.
She was able to let go of all of the shoulds and the oppression of having it like predetermined for her what her business had to look like. And once we lifted the veil of, you can go outside this box. It doesn't have to be like this. You don't have to just do more, more, more of the same to try to get ahead. Like once the oppression of what you should and people think you ought to do is gone, you get this freedom to experiment with, well, what actually could be instead.
This gives me a whole different perspective on thinking about a lot of financial things.
Yeah, I kept thinking, you know, math kept coming up and how numbers are difficult, and how I have this avoidance. I tend to avoid having to face really what's happening or figure it out. But then once I do, then I'm actually enjoy it. But it's really actually not hard. I don't find it to be hard. So is it, but I think I should think it's hard. But then it just seems so simple that maybe am I missing something, or am I just not as bad at it as I think? I think there are a lot of people like me, maybe, who just assume that it's hard, but it turns out it's not really hard. I mean, it's just, you have goals, they're going to cost a certain amount. You have to have these expenses, and you have this income, and you have to make it all work, see how it could work out, right?
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, she mentioned the fact that we're always afraid that the train is coming.
Yeah.
And I think, again, that resonates with me. I think that she's obviously very empathetic. She understands the angst that we have about the numbers. And, you know, I think we're really good at procrastinating about things that we're afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
I had something earlier this week where I don't very often go to bed uneasy, because That's there nice. Are unsolved things, like unaddressed things. I try to at least address things and have some understanding of, okay, well, this may not be good, but I know what has to happen, right? And so the other night I was basically avoiding something that I was afraid of, and that, you know, that kicked off the avalanche of uncertainty and fear and everything else. And what I really should have done is just probably gotten up out of bed, spent an hour or two or whatever looking into this, you know, answering that, you know, marking this on the calendar, et cetera. And it would have been solved. And actually, case in point, I'm not actually talking about accounting things, but case in point, I got up and the next morning, it took me about 15 minutes.
Yeah, I was going to say it wouldn't probably take you an hour or two to solve the problem.
It took me probably 15 minutes to put those things to rest. Is everything around that completed? No. But I got everything put into order, right? And the uncertainty is gone. I know this and that. And, you know, I was able to ask questions about that and get things solved. And again, personally, from the financial side, the accounting side, a lot of it is like that. It's like, I don't really know. I'm avoiding it because I don't know. There's some difficult questions that need to be answered. And I think it just snowballs to the point that we become really good at just procrastinating, trying to avoid, and it never gets any better.
No, and actually it isn't as scary as you imagine it to be, whatever it is, that train coming down on you, like she said.
Yeah. Well, you know, back to that exercise you were talking about, and the example she used was bankruptcy, which, you know, hopefully none of us, I know some of us have gone through that, but hopefully none of us have to go through that in our business lives. But here's 50 positive things that could come out of having to declare bankruptcy. That's got to be a powerful exercise.
Yeah.
Let's not take it to that extreme if we don't have to, but you know, it's got to be a powerful exercise.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Not because I always like to look at the worst case. I do. You know what? I admit I do like to look at the worst case scenario, because then it's really not that bad. Like, if I think we've talked about this before on this podcast. Like, if you looked at what's the worst thing that can happen, and then how do you deal with that worst thing, then it really turns out to be manageable for the most part. So that's what it's all about. I think just our imagination makes things seem way worse than they are.
That exercise obviously is flipping that around, right? What's the worst that could happen? What's the best that could happen? You know, when Megan is asking, what do you really want to get out of this? What can your business really accomplish? When we ask ourselves, what's the worst thing that could possibly happen? I think what we're, and I'm, you know, I am not a psychiatrist. I'm fascinated by neuroscience, and I studied that a little bit related to marketing and business development, but I'm not an expert on any of this. But I think what that is actually doing is empowering us to be able to make decisions, which is, I guess, at the heart of what Megan is talking about. Okay, if you understand your cash flow and your expenses, then you're empowered to make decisions about how to spend the cash, I guess, you know, is one way to look at it, or empowered to make decisions to say, okay, I know now what kind of cuts I need to make, or, okay, I know what I need to do in order to be able to afford to hire a bookkeeper or a virtual CFO or a draftsperson or a whatever.
Right. And not just keep making your business bigger and bigger and bigger. And for what? Like, what is your goal? Yeah. So I like that. Someone at the end made a comment that said that Megan broke things down and made them simple, which is true. I mean, it did seem much more approachable, where the idea of hiring a virtual CFO would have been kind of overwhelming and like, oh, they're just going to laugh at me. But when she said that it was like taking your clothes off in public or in front of someone that you don't know, it was like, yeah, that's kind of the way that's about as excited. Yeah, that's about why I feel about that. Like, yeah. And then she said she made people cry a lot of the time. So that made me feel better too. So it's not like, you know, whatever our fears are about having a virtual CFO, look at our stuff. It's not that bad. Or it's bad. It's bad enough that other people cry as well. I don't know. I don't know why there's comfort in that.
I totally get what she's saying too, though. You know, it's like, I don't think I would want anybody to look at my books. I mean, there's nothing illegal or, you know, anything in my books, but I think I would probably be a little bit ashamed of the, you know, yeah, I mean, there are a lot of expenses that don't need to be there, and there probably is not as much cash as should be there, you know, all of those things.
But the thing is, like, I love about Profit First, and also about what she was saying, is she was talking about like personal goals that you have. So it's not always talking about putting the money back into your business. It just makes it feel like this hamster wheel. Like, what are you actually looking forward to that you can then plan to protect that money for later? So you can do that thing that you want to do. So, which kind of is the point of why we're working, right? So to do some fun things sometimes, like pay our bills and everything, but then have a celebration of some kind, or get a car that you really have saved up for, or whatever it is, you know? So it's not all about just putting your profit back into your business. I mean, I think he's pretty clear about that. It should be something that you can enjoy. Your profit.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, you were just talking about that, the person that commented that she makes it simple. And I think it's, maybe it is making it simple, but I think it's making it personal. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, and I think when it's, again, you know, from my point of view, when you make these number, when you give these numbers meaning, or when I give these numbers meaning, I guess would be the actual way this should work. When I give these numbers meaning, they mean something to me, that does make it easier. It does make it easier for me to make decisions. I just pulled up her website, Megan's website, which is megandahle.com, megandahle.com. And I pulled it up because I couldn't remember what her tagline but I knew that I liked it. So her website says, get control of your numbers so you can be in control of your business. And I think that's a great summary of what she talked about, really. And, you know, and what we're trying to do here. Let's get control of it.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that people are most afraid of with their businesses, is people judging them on how they're running their lives or their business. You know, maybe it has to do with like a parental reaction, or you feel like one of your parents is going to say something like, did you really need to buy those shoes, or whatever it is, like, you know, whatever it is that you bought or you wanted because you wanted it to make yourself happier or whatever. There's people are going to judge you about that. But
yeah,
I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
Well, we talked about that a little bit on Clubhouse this morning. I mentioned the fact that, you know, we as a team, as a Context and Clarity team, we've talked about finding people to come on and talk about money mindsets. Because that's something that we all have, no matter what. We all have some sort of mindset that we learned from our parents, from whatever, right? Over the course of our lives, we've developed these mindsets. And so I think Megan, without getting too much into the psychology area, Megan really starts to help frame these mindsets. I think by focusing on, you know, what's important to you, what matters to you, why are you doing this, those types of things. And then I think it's in about 6 weeks or so, we're going to talk to Joyce Martyr, who does have a background in finance and in psychology. And we're really going to get into, you know, the mental, the mindset part of dealing with your finances. So I think this was, for me at least, I think this was a great first step into not only getting a handle, you know, I kind of shaped it that way, you know, as a topic this week of getting a handle on your firm's finances, but really before that, getting a handle on what you want to accomplish. And then, you know, maybe Megan's giving you the permission then, you know, by answering these questions, then you have permission to make these decisions. I think it was powerful.
It was powerful. And it seems like a CFO would be scary. You know, a virtual CFO would be kind of scary, mm-hmm. as we've discussed. But she's very approachable and funny and smart and kind and everything. So like you said this morning, she's very, she Megan herself makes it seem okay. Like I would feel okay telling my you know, I would be okay showing my books to her, I guess, even though I'd be initially maybe embarrassed to do that. I also, it was kind of when Christian was asking about what do we have to do to get ready to hire a virtual CFO? I liked her answer there, like figure out what is your objective for hiring one. And then maybe it's not even, you don't need one, but if you, how much would whatever solution someone can give you, what is that worth to you so that you have it in your mind and people don't, you don't get talked into anything that you're not going to be able to afford, I guess.
Why would you want to hire a CFO? That's the first question. Like, what is the outcome that you want out of it? And have that, like, articulate that outcome. And when you are talking to virtual CFOs, like, this is my primary reason why I'd like to hire you. Is this a result that you can help me with? And is that ROI worth it, right? They're going to name a price for you. It might be less than you are imagining. You need to know ahead of time what it is worth to you so that you're not talked into anything necessarily that you might not need, or that the outcome that you're looking for would actually be better served by a bookkeeper, or your outcome would actually be better served by an executive coach or an executive assistant or that type of thing. That's what you're looking for.
I thought that was sort of a microcosm of that answer was sort of a microcosm of the whole conversation is, you know, what is it you're trying to do here? And then how do we, which is a, you know, that's a pretty foundational, strategy of any type, beginning. But yeah, I thought that was a great point. It's what do you want to get out of this and kind of plant that flag.
That's kind of like her whole message across the board, right? Mm-hmm. Right. Like, what are you trying to get out of maybe your life or your business or these things you habitually pay for? Do you really need them? Like, what's the ultimate objective? And do these things fit that?
I think that's the power of it. And I mentioned as we were talking on Context and Clarity Live that I was listening this morning to another podcast that she was on. I was inspired by a podcast I was listening to this morning where they were talking about subscriptions. They're talking about cash flow and expenses is really what it was. And ultimately leading to profitability or lack thereof. And as I was listening to this and walking, I thought, well, you know what, here's a list of subscriptions to software that I have. And here's what I thought I was going to get out of this, or what I was going to do with it. And I'm not, right? That return on investment was going to be, oh, I can do this, or I can do that. Or, you know, hey, if I do this, you know, it'll, I don't know, what's an example. I can send out emails and that's going to find me one client a month or, you know, something. Well, guess what? You're not using that. And you're paying a lot of money for that every month. And so they inspired me to cancel two subscriptions today. I actually took action on what I heard.
Well, I'm proud of you on that one, Jeff. Okay. My problem with the subscriptions is that they are not very much money. So maybe it's like, oh, it's only $12. But then it turns out it's actually $15, or it's gone up to like $18, whatever. But it's like, it's only $18. And that's like, you know, lunch out.
It's only $40, or it's only this, but that's $40 less expense that's going out, which gives me $40 to give a job to use Megan's term. So that could be $40 to go to profit. It could be $40 to go to my salary. It could be $40 to go to some charity that we support through our business. Whatever, right? You get to decide what the jobs are. One of the things I've heard Megan say is she loves for her clients to cancel their credit cards or get a new credit card every 6 months. Because we lose track of our subscriptions and our recurring costs. So when you do that, everybody, right, the next month, everybody's going to say, hey, you need to update your credit card information.
That is true. That is true.
I've heard other people say that, and I've never done it, but I think it's brilliant. I've never done it on purpose. I'm about to hit that because I got a new card in the mail that I have to activate. So it's going to happen, right? But I think at that point you can go through and say, okay, do I need this or do I not need this?
It's all exciting because you can kind of rearrange what you're doing to meet your goals. And, you know, I'm big on goals, so. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I thought it was pretty inspiring conversation.
If anybody had asked me 3 days ago or 2 weeks ago how long we would sit and talk backstage about a conversation about our firm's finances, I would not have guessed, you know, we're almost at 40 minutes at this point. I would not have guessed that we would have been this passionate, this inspired by a conversation about our firm's finances. So that's a real testament to Megan and her approach. Megan will also be a speaker at the Entre Architect Community Annual Meeting, which if you have not heard about that, it's the first ever live conference just for entrepreneurial small firm architects coming up November 1st through 3rd in Austin, Texas. Go to entrearchitect.com/annual meeting for more information about that. Megan will be one of the speakers at that event. So, thank you for listening to us sort of gush over this conversation.
Well, what did you think? Did you hear something in there that you can use in your practice today? If you are so inspired by this conversation that you'd like to watch the entire Context and Clarity Live episode, head on over to the Entre Architect YouTube channel. There's a playlist there that has all of the full Context and Clarity Live episodes. And if you want more of the Context and Clarity podcast delivered to you every week, give us a thumbs up and subscribe wherever you consume podcasts. If you like content like this, check out Gable Media. It's a multimedia network for people that care about the built environment, and it's the home of Context and Clarity. With Gable's growing family of podcasts and video channels, I know you'll find something there that interests you. You can learn more at gablemedia.com. That's gablemedia.com. And one last thing before you go. If the topic of today's episode is of particular interest to you, join me over on Facebook today at 4 p.m. Eastern, inside the Entre Architect Community Facebook group. That's where every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern, I host Context and Clarity Conversations, and we take topics like this, and we dig deeper. We have a conversation in real time to try to find more clarity around the things that matter most to you. So thanks for listening. I hope our time together has inspired you to think about your community and your practice and how you can support those around you. We'll be back here again next week. And in the meantime, I hope you'll join me and the Entree Architect community on Facebook today at 4 p.m. Eastern so that we can help each other find more clarity around the topics that matter most, no matter what your context is.
Imagine earning continuing education credits while doing exactly what you're doing right now. Well, you can. Gable Media has revolutionized the way you earn your continuing education credits with a groundbreaking approach. Forget running around town and scouring the internet for credit-worthy courses. Fulfill your CE requirements effortlessly by listening to engaging podcasts just like the one you're listening to now. Our podcasts are designed to educate, entertain, and inspire, all in a user-friendly environment. But wait, there's more. Architects, Gable Media is also approved as an AIA Continuing Education Services provider. Upon completion, we handle everything, from reporting your hours directly to the AIA to storing your certificates in your personal Gable Media profile for your self-reporting needs. So follow the link in the show notes and start earning your credits in the most innovative and entertaining way possible with Gable Media.